In our scripture reading this morning, we read where Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest," in John chapter 4, verse 35. There's another passage that talks about the harvest. It's a favorite passage of mine. It speaks of the harvest from a little bit different direction, but yet not entirely. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. And Paul says there, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Now, while the primary subject of this entire context here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is actually the subject of giving, there are a couple of points in this verse that transcend into all aspects of our lives. And one of those is that God supplies seed for us to sow. A lot of times we act as though we don't have anything to do anything with, but Paul makes it clear here that God blesses us abundantly with seed for the sowing. Now that applies specifically in his discussion here of the matter of giving. God blesses us with resources, and we are to use those resources to God's glory. We're to give back to God. But in far more, many, many more ways than just in our giving as the collection plate is passed on Sunday morning or on Sunday, God blesses us with resources to use that He intends for us to put to use so that we ultimately are able to produce good things in our lives. And when we produce good things in our lives, God blesses us even more in the ways of multiplying the, as Paul says, the harvest of our righteousness. Now, obviously, there are some folks who are not at all interested in sowing God's seed. And it would make them rather uncomfortable to sing that song that we just sang, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" There are some folks who make no pretension about it. They're not one bit interested in sowing the seed of the kingdom. And they have no interest in reaping a harvest of righteousness. Now, the second point that's there that I think applies to all of our lives is the fact that, as Paul said, God increases our harvest. If we sow the seeds of righteousness, God will bless us with a bountiful harvest. It may not always be in the terms or in the measurement of things as we would like to see them, but the fact is, God blesses us with the harvest of righteousness. It's very important as we contemplate that point for us to lay aside all of the preconceived ideas and notions of exactly how we think God should be blessing us. And we should be satisfied with God's blessings, knowing that God will increase the harvest of our righteousness. In His way, in His time, in His terms, the end result will be greater blessings for you and I. Now, this morning, in terms of our upcoming gospel meeting, which, if you don't know by now, begins next Sunday morning, we talked about several things that we all need to be doing in preparation. And tonight, I want us to continue that same line of thought and apply what this text tells us about the harvest of our righteousness. And in order to keep us thinking along that same line, I'd like to remind us of another very familiar passage of Scripture that speaks about harvest, planting, sowing, and reaping. It's Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. There in that passage, Paul says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." The message of that passage is at the same time a message of comfort and encouragement, And it's also a message of warning. It's a message of comfort and encouragement if we're concerned for a harvest of righteousness. If our inclination is toward an earthly, fleshly harvest of corruption, it speaks to us a message of great fear. But there are four things that I'd like to point out to you, and I suppose that by now I owe you a short sermon, and maybe this one will pay me up. Number one, we reap what we sow. This is as simple as it gets. There is no more basic concept than the fact that we reap whatever we sow. We don't reap something different from what we sow. We reap what we sow. We reap in kind. If you plant peas, peas are going to come up, not corn. If you plant watermelons, watermelons are going to come up, not okra. If you don't plant anything, guess what? Nothing is going to come up. That's really simple, isn't it? God does not bless our harvest if we don't plant any seed, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. Now, the negative side of this principle is expressed in that statement there in Galatians chapter 6, where Paul says, "He that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption." There's a dire warning there in that statement. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. No two ways about it. Nothing else is going to come up different from what you sow. Corruption means that which will shrivel and spoil and rot. There's one thing about that corruption that we sometimes reap a harvest of. Sometimes it may even look pretty good at first. But it doesn't take it long before it starts to go bad. Now, there's a positive side to that point as well, and it's the principle of encouragement. Encouragement to plant the good and wholesome seed, to be steadfast in our sowing of righteousness, for God will bless our efforts of righteousness with a good harvest of righteousness. Basic, simple stuff. We reap what we sow. Here's the second one. We reap more than we sow. It's very interesting that this principle also works in both directions. If you sow your wild oats, you'll be reaping the produce of them for many years. But if you sow good, you'll reap a harvest of righteousness in abundance. If you sow a little bit, you will reap a lot. If you sow a little bit of wild oats, you'll reap a bountiful harvest of wild oats. If you sow righteousness, even what we might consider to be a little bit, in our feeble efforts, God will bless us in a measure so far greater than the measure of good that we've done. Now, that's not to say that, okay, I'm going to get my little bit of righteousness in now and I'll get on about the other stuff. That's not what I'm talking about, and you know that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, though, when we measure the magnitude of God's blessings against the magnitude of our good, and we couldn't even use the word magnitude to measure our good, the little bit of good that we're able to accomplish is rewarded in such abundant terms from God. God's bountiful hand is legendary. In every age, God has blessed those who do good with benefits that far outweigh the efforts expended. Perfect illustration of this comes from the world of nature and the fact, the principle of the multiplication of seed. Now, let's take corn, for example. While there is actually no such thing as an average ear of corn, we could say there is a typical ear of corn, and a typical ear of corn has somewhere from usually 600 to 750 grains or kernels of corn. Now that seems like a lot from one ear of corn. You go home tonight and you find you one and you count them. 600 to 750 grains of corn from a typical ear. Now, if a farmer plants two grains or seed of corn in order to get one stalk, let's just say he's got a 50% failure rate, but we all know that one grain of corn can produce a stalk. But let's say that he plants two to get one stalk. And so, if each stalk bears two ears, then he's planted two grains of seed, and the total yield from one ear of corn is 360,000 grains or kernels. That comes out to about 5 bushels. In other words, an ear of corn, if it has 600 to 750 grains, if each of those grains is planted and you only get half the harvest, and each of those stalks that come up bear two ears of corn, and each one of those ears of corn have 600 to 750, let's just say 600, then that will yield about 360,000 kernels, grains of corn from one ear. There are 72,000 kernels of corn typically in a bushel. And so that's 5 bushels of corn. An ear of corn can produce, understand, we're talking about perfect conditions and good weather, and irrigating it like the guy does down here at the foot of the hill. We're talking about 5 bushels of corn from an ear. If only man could come up with a system that multiplies itself in those terms. But man cannot. It's God, though, who does. And that's the same way that God blesses our efforts of righteousness. We reap more than we sow. Number three, we reap only if we sow. Now, there's a paradox involved in this point. I hope you know what a paradox is. Paradox is a statement that leads to a conclusion that seems to defy logic. We reap only if we sow. Now, that's a good thing if you're looking at the bad side. In other words, if you're talking about sowing the bad stuff, you only reap it if you sow it, and so obviously don't sow it and you won't reap it, okay? But that's a bad thing if you're looking at the good side. Because if you're talking about the efforts of sowing righteousness and you don't sow any righteousness, then guess what? You're not going to reap any righteousness. So you see, it's a good thing if you're looking at the bad side. It's a bad thing if you're looking at the good side. That's the paradox. If you don't ever get around to inviting anyone to services with you, they won't come. If you don't invite anyone to come to the services of our gospel meeting next week, insofar as your efforts are concerned, nobody will be here. If you don't ever get around to promoting Bible study and prayer in your home for the sake of your children, there will not be a harvest of righteousness born out of that fact. If you don't sow the seeds of kindness and generosity in your life, you will not reap the results of being a kind and generous person in the eyes of those around you and in the eyes of God. We reap only if we sow. Number four. We always reap later than we sow. There is always a delay factor. It takes time for germination, growth, development, and then finally harvest. Whether we're talking about nature, whether we're talking about righteousness, even when we're talking about the bad stuff. In fact, delay in reaping corruption from bad sowing is what keeps some folks always going back and sowing more bad stuff. Because often the harvest comes later down the road. And you can sow those wild oats, as we say. You can sow that corruption. You can sow to the flesh. And guess what? It may be a while before you see any results from that. It may be a while before you really start to suffer. Because we always reap later than we sow. In fact, sometimes the bitterness of a bad harvest is so far down the road that we've forgotten what caused it. But it always comes, doesn't it? The good harvest is also subject to delay. And this is normal. In nature, you don't go out and sow those seeds of corn and expect the next day to have full-grown ears. It'll be a while before you see anything. And then just ever so slowly, the ground will start to crack and that little seedling will peep through the dirt. And with proper care and the right kind of weather, it'll grow ever so slowly. I came from a long line of farmers. Maybe not farmers, big gardeners. I broke the chain, by the way. I think I've told you before that one of the biggest regrets that my grandfather Phillips ever had of me was the fact that every time I'd go to see him in later years of his life, he'd say, "Son, have you planted you a garden yet?" And I'd say, "No, Papa, I just don't have time." I will always remember how I disappointed my grandfather by the fact that I hadn't planted a garden. But I can remember growing up when Dad would take us to the seed store with him in the spring, and he'd say, "Okay, y'all find you something you want to grow," and you know, usually flowers or whatever, and we'd take it home, and he'd show us how to prepare everything, and we'd plant our little spot along with the rest of the 10 acres that we always seemed to manage to plant and have to take care of. And the thing that I remember, I guess, the most is how slow it was in seeing any results. Because, you know, to a kid, time passes too slowly anyway. And when you have to mark it by watching for seeds to come up out of the ground and plants to develop and flowers to bloom or fruit to be produced, you know, it seems like it takes eternity. God made it that way. You know, there are even some plants, some trees, when they shed their seeds, when that seed gets covered, it does not immediately begin to sprout and grow. It often has to take an entire season and go through exposure to weather to wake up the germination process, so to speak. So when that little whirlybird seedling out of a pine cone hits the ground and gets covered up, it'll be a while before you see a pine seedling start to grow. That's the way God made it. The good harvest is also subject to delay. But Paul warned us not to get discouraged. In verse 9 there in Galatians chapter 6, the next verse from where we stopped reading a few minutes ago, he says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Not normally, instantly, but in due time. It may be that you've become frustrated with your efforts of righteousness, and you may have even come close to the conclusion that, well, this is not worth it. Nothing's happening. It's not doing any good. I'm trying hard. I've invited people and they won't come. In due season, we'll reap if we don't grow weary. One final observation. Have you ever noticed how some people don't ever seem to get caught when they do bad? That is an illusion. not only is it an illusion, it's not true. It works both ways. Sometimes it seems like nobody notices when we do good. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. They always appear. Some of them appear with great fanfare, but some of them appear later. But he says, the sins of men, some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. The rest of that verse says, so also good works are conspicuous. And even those that are not, he means those that are not conspicuous, cannot remain hidden. Whether to do good or to do bad with our lives is our choice, our decision. Whichever choice we make, it won't be hidden. There will be a harvest according to what we sow. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.